Hello again, guys, and welcome back to the Finals Countdown series, which is brought to you by MedTalks. In this series, we're providing regular, short, succinct, and super useful revision talks for all of your upcoming exams and for life as a doctor in the future. We hope you've been enjoying the series so far. Please remember to give us your feedback. Please remember to share these episodes with your friends, your peers, and anyone else who may find them useful. We've done plenty of episodes already across multiple specialties, and we've got lots more to come. In today's talk, I'll be going through gastric cancer. So before we get into this episode, I'd like to just take a moment to talk about the sponsors, and they are Wesleyan. Now, Wesleyan is a company that was set up way back in 1841, and they provide tailored financial advice and products to multiple professional groups, including doctors, dentists, and teachers. I'd like to just touch on Wesleyan's latest project called The Next Step. The Next Step is born from the Wesleyan tradition of giving back. Built in collaboration with final year students, The Next Step brings together some of the brightest sparks in medicine for live events, workshops, exam resources, contents, and podcasts to make the step into F1 a little easier. They address subject matter you didn't know that you needed to know. So go on over and follow them on Instagram by searching at The Wes Next Step, or Facebook by searching The Next Step -Wesleyan, or visit their website, which is thenextstep.wesleyan.co.uk. Right then, let's get back to the episode. So what will I be covering today? Well, firstly, I'll be talking all about what gastric cancer is and how it occurs. I'll be discussing some of the epidemiology of gastric cancer, going through the risk factors, looking at the clinical features, looking at how we diagnose it, and then going on to the management, and then touching at the end on prognosis and complications. So gastric cancer is also known as stomach cancer, and it's a cancer that starts anywhere in the stomach or inside the stomach wall. It's the fifth most common cancer in the world, and it's the third leading cause of cancer death in both sexes worldwide. It's the most commonly diagnosed cancer and leading cause of cancer death in men in several Western Asian countries. And the incidence of gastric cancer is particularly high in Asian countries because of the prevalence of the Helicobacter pylori, H. pylori infection. And another reason the incidence rates are much higher in Asia, particularly East Asia, so countries like Japan, is because of a very salty diet, and having a high salt diet is known to be a risk factor for gastric cancer. And overall, it does have a much lower incidence in North America and Europe and also Africa. In terms of the risk factors for developing gastric cancer, age is a huge one. So in the UK, approximately half of all new stomach cancer cases in the UK are diagnosed in people aged 75 and over. Poor socioeconomic status. But I think by far the greatest factor is the H. pylori, Helicobacter pylori infection, which can double the risk of gastric cancer in affected individuals. It's an essential risk factor in 65 to 80% of gastric cancers. However, only 2% of people with H. pylori infections actually go on to develop it. Diet is a huge one as well. So if fresh fruit and vegetable consumption is low, this is known to increase the risk. And as I alluded to earlier, high salt and preserved foods in the diet increases the risk. Smoking, obesity, having gastritis, so inflammation of the stomach. Pernicious anemia is also a known risk factor, and this is a type of vitamin B12 deficiency anemia where not enough red blood cells are produced because of the malabsorption of B12. And the malabsorption in pernicious anemia occurs because of the lack or loss of intrinsic factor which is needed for the absorption of vitamin B12. And this is an autoimmune process where the body produces antibodies that attack the parietal cells in the stomach lining, and this prevents them from creating the intrinsic factor which is involved in the transport and the absorption of vitamin B12. There's a familial risk, so 5 to 10% of people with gastric cancer have a family history, and also blood group A is associated with stomach cancer. Moving on to the clinical features, so often they can be quite non-specific, so dysphagia or difficulty swallowing, vomiting, dyspepsia, so that's that discomfort or pain that occurs in the upper part of the abdomen, usually occurs after eating or drinking, so heartburn, difficulty digesting food. Now, early gastric cancer often has symptoms which suggest a benign etiology. So about 70% of patients with early gastric cancer have symptoms of mild dyspepsia, but all patients who are at risk should have an endoscopy. Majority of the patients present with advanced disease and the alarm system symptoms that I will go through a bit more later, and this includes weight loss, vomiting, anorexia, abdominal pain, and anemia. And patients often get treated with medications like proton pump inhibitors, so lansoprazole or omeprazole, which will then delay the true diagnosis or can even result in a misdiagnosis on endoscopy. Some signs and symptoms which can suggest incurable disease include an epigastric mass, hepatomegaly, jaundice, ascites, all of which are suggestive of liver metastases. The Trossier sign, which is an enlarged left supraclavicular node, and it's referred to as the Virchow's node, and acanthosis nigricans, which is a dark discoloration in the body's folds and creases, typically affecting the armpits, groin, and neck. And it's usually a sign of insulin resistance, and it's also a sign of metastatic gastric cancer. It's always important to consider what else it could be. So with patients presenting with things like dysphagia, dyspepsia, there are other conditions which may be causing these symptoms and ones to keep in mind. So things like peptic ulcer disease, gastroesophageal reflux disease, gallstones, and also pancreatic cancer. Hey guys, just a quick one. If you, like me, are iPad lovers and spend all of your productive time on your iPads, making notes for exams or making notes for anything else, then I cannot recommend enough the paper-like screen protector. The number of times I've scratched my unprotected iPad screen after using different styluses or styli, but since having the paper-like screen protector, it's kept my screen extremely well shielded. Its nanodot surface technology provides a better tactile feel, increased stroke friction, and minimal light diffraction so that making art and taking notes on an iPad feels as natural as writing on paper. Made for the iPad and Apple Pencil, Paperlight delivers the unforgettable feeling of real paper into your digital workspace. To find out more about this wonderful creation, you can just head on over to their website by searching paperlight.com/medtalks, and I will leave this link in the episode description so you can have a look after you've listened to the episode. And if you are interested in purchasing a Paperlight screen protector, then please do enter the code MEDTALKS at the checkout page. And again, I will leave that all in the episode description. Okay, back to the episode. Okay, now for the really high yield stuff. So I want to just go through the NICE guidelines for referring patients with suspected gastric cancer. And listen carefully, guys, because really these will be questions that can come up in exams. So the urgent suspected cancer pathway should be done for patients with an upper abdominal mass that is consistent with stomach cancer, and these should be seen within 2 weeks. So this is the 2 week wait. Then there is an urgent direct access upper gastrointestinal endoscopy to be performed within 2 weeks, and this should be offered to assess for stomach cancer in people with dysphagia, so that's difficulty swallowing, or patients aged 55 and over with weight loss and any of the following: so upper abdominal pain, reflux, and dyspepsia. The NICE guidelines also say to consider offering non-urgent direct access upper gastrointestinal endoscopy to assess for stomach cancer in people with hematemesis. And consider non-urgent direct access upper gastrointestinal endoscopy to assess for stomach cancer in people aged 55 or over with treatment-resistant dyspepsia. So that's when you've tried things like PPIs and people are not responding well enough to them. Or upper abdominal pain with low hemoglobin levels, so anemia, or a raised platelet count with any of the following, and that's nausea, vomiting, weight loss, reflux, dyspepsia, upper abdominal pain, or nausea or vomiting with any of the following: weight loss, reflux, dyspepsia, and upper abdominal pain. In terms of other investigations, it's always important to do some blood tests, particularly a full blood count to look for any possible anemia, and liver function tests to look for any potential spread to the liver. But rapid access video endoscopy and endoscopic biopsy do remain the investigations of choice. Biopsies can be taken and small lesions can be evaluated more fully than is possible with radiological studies. And PPIs should be ideally withheld until after the endoscopy to avoid any misdiagnosis. So all gastric ulcers should be biopsied, as even malignant ulcers may appear to heal on drug treatment. And then gastric ulcers should be followed up until healing with repeat biopsies. In terms of the histopathology, well, 90% of stomach cancers are adenocarcinomas. So around 5% of gastric cancers are lymphomas, and these can include the extranodal marginal zone B-cell lymphoma, which is the MALT type, and MALT stands for mucosa-associated lymphoid tissue. The initial staging assessments will include CT scanning of the thorax and abdomen to look for any metastatic disease. The TNM staging is used, so that's tumor node metastasis. So the T will give you the size of the tumor. The N will tell us whether it's infiltrated any lymph nodes, and then the M will tell us if there's any distant metastasis or not, and where that metastasis is. In terms of the management, well, endoscopic surgery is the mainstay of treatment for early gastric cancers. And at the same time, perioperative combination chemotherapy has also become the standard of care for localized gastric cancer throughout the UK and most of Europe. And the chemotherapeutic agent called 5-fluorouracil or 5-FU is known to be the most effective one. All patients who have gastric cancer should be discussed at a specialist upper GI cancer multidisciplinary team meeting for definitive management plans. It's essential to ensure they have adequate nutrition, so they should all have a nutritional status assessment and be reviewed regularly by a dietitian. Many patients will need definitive nutritional support both before and after treatment, and that may be via a nasogastric tube or a radiologically inserted gastrostomy tube, a RIG. The mainstay of curative treatment is surgery, and patients who are fit enough should be offered perioperative chemotherapy, and typically this will be 3 cycles of neoadjuvant chemotherapy, so before surgery, and 3 cycles of adjuvant after surgery. And the aim is to achieve local regional control by removing the tumour and its local lymph nodes. The type of operation will depend on the region of the malignancy, so for proximal gastric cancers it will be total gastrectomy, so total removal of the stomach. And for distal gastric cancers, so in the antrum or the pylorus regions, it would be a subtotal gastrectomy. And then after the gastrectomy, then it needs some reconstruction. And the root on why reconstruction is the most commonly used method because it gives the best functional result. So post-gastrectomy, the distal esophagus is end-to-end anastomosed directly to the small bowel, and the proximal small bowel is end-to-end anastomosed to the small bowel. So a gastrectomy is a major operation, and mortality rates remain between 2 and 5%, and the quality of life can remain really poor for up to 6 months after the surgery. Specific complications can include an anastomotic leak, needing reoperation, dumping syndrome, and vitamin B12 deficiency, where patients will need 3 monthly vitamin B12 injections. Dumping syndrome is a group of symptoms which occurs because of rapid gastric emptying, and these include diarrhea, nausea, feeling lightheaded or tired after a meal. And the rapid gastric emptying occurs because the food moves too quickly from the stomach to the duodenum, and this is as a result of the gastrectomy. Now sadly, the majority of patients will only be offered a palliative approach because of the extent of the disease at the time of presentation. And this will include just chemotherapy, supportive care, or stenting for those patients who have a gastric outlet obstruction secondary to the obstructing cancer. A palliative surgery can be used when stenting fails or is not available. In terms of complications, the main complications of gastric cancer are gastric outlet obstruction as a result of the obstructing tumour, iron deficiency anemia, perforation and malnutrition. The 10-year survival rate for stomach cancer overall is about 15%, but this is of course stage dependent. Most will present at an advanced stage with metastasis, and these have a 5-year survival of less than 5%. Okay guys, so that brings me to the end of this episode where I've talked all about gastric cancer. So as promised at the beginning of the episode, we've gone through what gastric cancer is and how it occurs. We've looked at some of the risk factors and we've discussed some epidemiology. We've then discussed the clinical features, how it presents, and we've talked about the alarm symptoms. And leading on to that, we've looked at the investigations as per the NICE guidelines and looked at what investigations need to be done for diagnosis and staging, and then After that, we looked at the treatment. So that's the surgical treatment and then the non-surgical treatment, including chemotherapy, palliative. And then finally, we discussed some complications, including dumping syndrome after surgery, and looked at the prognosis of gastric cancer. I hope you found this episode useful. As always, please remember to give us your feedback. You can drop a comment on the Apple Podcast platforms, leave some reviews, and you can message us on Instagram. Our Instagram is medtalks.uk, or email us at hellomedtalks@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to answer any of your questions and just get your feedback. Please remember to share these episodes with your friends, peers, and anyone else who may find them useful. Subscribe to our channel and our social media for lots more updates, and we've got plenty more episodes coming soon. We know you've got your final exams coming up, and we wish you all the best for your revision and for your exams. Good luck, stay tuned, stay listening, and we will speak to you in the next one. Goodbye.